It is one bell of the afternoon watch on the magical isle of Vashon. But your Captain Joe, always up in the captain's chair, is not on the magical isle of Vashon. I am indeed down in Tidewater, Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, that part of our great and glorious country from which I originally come, but not Tidewater. Although my roots are deep here in Tidewater, Virginia, I am in Norfolk, and I'm here for the muster once again of my crew from the Coast Guard cutter Ingham. I was, of course, her XO, or second in command in Vietnam. And then when we returned to Portsmouth, which is right across the Elizabeth River from where I am right now, I'm in Norfolk, which is across the Elizabeth River from Portsmouth. When we returned from that deployment, I fleeted up and relieved and became her captain. And I am today her senior surviving commanding officer, her senior surviving captain. 2 years ago, I broadcast from actually the captain's chair in Ingham because she remains afloat in Key West, Florida. How she got to Key West, which was never one of her home ports in her long life. She was commissioned in 1936 and remained in continuous commission for 50 years. But in any case, She remains afloat today in Key West, Florida. And 2 years from now, probably that's where we will convene for our next gathering. It is true that not too many of her Vietnam crew are left. And so my greetings today for this time. For where I am, three time zones, it is 1530, 1534, which is seven bells of the afternoon watch here in Norfolk. So my greetings today go out to all of my Vietnam and Ingham shipmates, those who made a special effort to get here because they also are occupying a place on the binnacle list, to which I will go in just a minute. But to all of them, and to those who could not be here, who are either unable to travel or for other reasons were not able to be with us, all of these organizations which memorialize ships that we have sailed in the past are struggling because their membership is dying, crossing the bar, as sailors say. And so one of the things that we're going to discuss, because I'm a member of the board of directors of the Ingham Association, one of the things that we will be discussing is how we continue to provide the memories, the memorialization, and the recognition of the service of these fine ships, all of these fine ships that served in the Coast Guard. And the fine crews that sailed in them. And I am proud and pleased to be a part of that. The binnacle list today includes everybody who is struggling with, in particular, the virus. It has struck again in a number of different places. And I have not yet been able to get the most recent version of the current inoculation, but I will, and I urge all of Captain Joe's people to do that. And also the RPV or RSV, that respiratory virus, there is an inoculation for that as well. And I'm urging all of Captain Joe's people. Thus, this year, it will be a Troika flu shot, which I have already gotten for this year, the COVID virus shot, and the one for the respiratory infection, and to add to it if you haven't already gotten the singles of God. It goes on and on and on. Talk to your particular healthcare professional and find out from him or her whatever it is that you should be taking. In a few minutes after I sign off from my broadcast, I'll be going to the first event. And one of the events that we're going to happen that we do every year will happen tomorrow. And that is the memorial service. And one of the things that we're going to do before the memorial service is that we're going to take a trip down that course of memories to the berth from which I sailed Ingham as her XO, brought her back to that same berth in Berkeley Station on the Elizabeth River. Kind of a tricky place sometimes to get in and out of because there's a river current of about 3 knots that goes across the face of those piers. All the time that we were deployed, Ingham behaved flawlessly in her ship handling. She was obedient. She was predictable. She did everything that she was supposed to do, and she did it exactly the way that she was supposed to do it. She was very responsive to my commands, and I was able to put her in and take her out of places that were just a few inches longer than her 327-foot length. So on the day that we returned, flying the homeward-bound pennant, in a future broadcast, I'll talk about a homeward-bound pennant. We were flying her homeward-bound pennant, streaming out astern of her, and I shot my approach into her berth at Berkeley Station, the same one from which we had sailed a year earlier. And this was the time that she chose to be recalcitrant, disobedient, and unpredictable. And I could not get her alongside her berth. All of the families are standing out there on the dock. There are posters. There is a band. There is much waving. There is much eagerness for families to be reunited after a year-long deployment on the gun line off the coast of Vietnam. And she would not go alongside one bell, one backing bell, put over all lines, double up, and secure Captain Lang ashore. That's the way it's supposed to work. She would not do that, and I had to suffer the ultimate humiliation of taking the lines to the winches. For you sailors, especially you deck sailors, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Lines 1 and 6 to the winches. I don't know, and I've chosen not to do any analysis, but when I'm faced with the prospect of an incredibly bad piece of ship handling by one of our ferries, I am reminded of the time that my Ingham, who had behaved flawlessly for all of the time that I had sailed in her, had never missed a single command. I had never taken the lines to the winches in that whole year, in some really sticky places. And she chose this time, with the families waiting, Captain Westfall's wife, Mary, another Mary, bless her heart, neither of them now any longer with us. Neil's ashes, in fact, in Ingham. They're all waiting to be reunited. And XO could not get Ingham alongside her berth without winching her in. Well, that's my story on that, and so I'm going on to other things, but I'm looking out over the Norfolk Naval Shipyard, and now I am looking out over some ships that are being repaired in the shipyard, and one of them is one of these incredibly ugly landing ship docks, hull number 24. And she is in commission because all of her flags are up. I'm looking for her commissioning pennant. I don't see that. But there's a crane in the way. I tell you this because I am so close to being able. I can almost reach out and touch the hull of this landing ship. Slab-sided, incredibly ugly ship. The only redeeming virtue that I can see from here is that she has these lovely open bridge wings. May all ships be built with open bridge wings. Going on to things, I'm going to take this time to catch up on a couple of things, because my last two broadcasts, I was surrounded by strong and beautiful women, and I enjoyed those interviews so much. But I did, in fact, not get to some of the things that I like to get to that are always part of my program. So I'm going to do some of those today. And part of this is also to tell you that on this trip, I decided to leave the magical isle of Vashon a little bit early and go to Baltimore. And my destination airport was Baltimore International Airport, Baltimore Washington International Airport. It started its life out called Friendship Airport, and it was built to take some of the pressure off of Washington National, DCA, airline code DCA. Its airline code is BWI, and I selected that because there were some friends of family rank that I needed to see. And it turns out that both of these people, a couple, Jim and Sharon, have descended into the depths and the grief of not being very much in touch with reality anymore. I knew that this was to be the case. I knew that because I had talked to Chris, who is their daughter, and she had briefed me on what I could expect. But the reality of it always is more poignant than what I am expecting when I make that first contact. I have not come to any way of handling these things very skillfully in my own heart. And I tell this story because there may be some of Captain Joe's people out there who listen to me every week who have the same situation. In fact, I know that there are. I'm sure that there are. So be not dismayed. Put on the good face. Be strong and be loving. And don't let the reality of what you're seeing and what you're feeling show. Because in Sharon and Jim's case, these are people that came in people that came into my life through Mary R. And they became my people as well. And so when I realized that by flying into BWI and then by picking up a rental car there, I would have both transport, and I would be able to have the time to spend a little bit of time with them. I organized it that way. I regret it not, of course, and the family was incredibly appreciative of my being able to do this. But it chips another piece out of your captain's heart, and it happened this time. After I had left them, I decided to take a drive down the Eastern Shore of Virginia. My father, just before World War II, my father had managed a summer hotel in Eastville, which is the county seat for Northampton County on the Eastern Shore. There are two counties on the Eastern Shore of Virginia. And if you detect a slight change in my accent, it is because as I drove down the Highway 13 which is the highway that runs north-south down the spine of the Eastern Shore. As I drove down Highway 13, and I made a couple of stops for crab in particular, and talked to the people who live on the Eastern Shore, and I started to slide into the dialect. I started to slide into the accent. There are regional accents in Virginia, and I can slide into the Northern Virginia one fairly easily, and that is probably what you are hearing if you're hearing any change in my voice. But there is a somewhat different one out on the Eastern Shore, because like the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and the magical Isle of Vashon, where people are insular, the people from Prince Edward Island, from whence Mary R. came, that they think a little bit differently from those of us who live in parts of the country that are connected to each other. When the bridge tunnel was built at Cape Charles, or Kiptopeak, down in the south end of the Eastern Shore of Virginia, I was concerned that it would change the personality, but I find that it has not. And as I drove through Eastville, it took me back to my childhood. I did have a childhood. It did not last very long. I was an adult by the time that I was 10. And those are other stories for other times as well. But Eastville has about, I'd say, maybe 300 people living in it. It's a county seat. And it looks exactly the same now as it did when I was a child, which probably was the same way it was during the Civil War. There's some people that live out on the Eastern Shore that are certain that Morris Bob, General Lee, is still going to come down Route 13. It is just a wonderful, wonderful place with wonderful people. They still grow. So anyway, I got off of Route 13 and I went into back behind Eastville. Eastville has Business 13. And I took Business 13, and then I drove down one of the country roads looking for Wilkins Beach, which is where this hotel was. And I found Wilkins Beach, and it looks exactly the same. There are these enormous fields where they grow truck gardening, potatoes, tomatoes, any kind of crop, corn, any kind of crop that you can load onto a truck. Truck farming. And these enormous fields, and they're still growing potatoes in those fields. And there was a road that goes out to Wilkins Beach, and there was a sign on that road, and it said Wilkins Beach, six generations have lived on this land. And although it wasn't the name of the family, I know the name of the family. It's Mears, M-E-A-R-S. Because the Mears family owned that hotel, and they owned the land on which it stood. So I took a chance with my rental car. The road did not look particularly well-groomed. It was paved with that substance which is so much used in places like rural Virginia, crushed oyster shells. And I drove along this road, and I drove, and I drove, and I drove. And I drove farther than I remembered, but distances change as you get older. And I finally got out to the end of this road where the hotel would have been, and I could look out into the Chesapeake Bay and that same beach where my dog Missy had eaten all of the nettles and had gotten so sick and almost died. And right where the hotel stood, there was a house, unoccupied, but a house. People still go out there, and they are still Mears. And I am telling you all of Captain Joe's people, that if you are given the opportunity to make such a return, it is worth it, especially if you are returning to a place that was such a happy place, which it certainly was for me. It was before, when I was very young. So I felt that the Eastern Shore was doing just fine, regardless of the bridge tunnel used to get to it by ferry back and forth between Little Creek and Cape Charles. Now there is, of course, the bridge tunnel, an amazing, amazing piece of engineering. So I said, well, if I've had all of this success, then I'm ready to try the next one. And that was to go and see if I could find the place where I went into retirement from the Coast Guard. This is not a happy story because I retired very badly. And I tell this story because those of Captain Joe's people who have retired from the service or retired from some other life and did not do it well, let me tell you that there is salvation. And if you are still not doing it well, it's time to do something about it. So this involved a journey into Matthews County. Matthews County, the smallest county in the Commonwealth of Virginia, except for Arlington. And Arlington, of course, is the Virginia half of the district, which was never absorbed into the district because of the Civil War. So Matthews County, little tiny county on the western side of Chesapeake Bay, and that was where I decided to go after I became an honored retiree. I retired very badly. I did some very destructive things, and I became very sick there. But I decided this would be maybe an expunging bad memories, because once I figured out what was going on and I did something about it, and then Mary R. and I got together, and then so many good things have happened in my life since then, not the least of which is what I'm doing with you right in this very minute. So off I went, my little rental car, my little Nissan rental car, now just a little bit just dustier and dirtier, and off I went into Matthews County. And when you're in Gloucester County, which is the next county over, dual lane highway. As soon as you cross over into Matthews County, it goes down into a single lane highway, and on either side are these enormous ditches, which are characteristic of many rural counties, in at least in Virginia, probably in North Carolina as well, but certainly in Virginia, of which I'm very familiar. So I'm driving along deep into Matthews County, being very careful not to lose attention to the road, because if you go into one of those ditches, it's going to require a massive tow truck to get you out. Those dishes are built there to capture on a Sunday morning the trucks of people who have possibly overindulged in food and drink at one of the dispensaries thereof in Matthews County on Saturday night. Huge, huge ditches. Don't go into one because you're going to need to be pulled out by a tow truck. And I drove farther and farther into Matthews County, and once again, the memories start to flow and flare up. And I knew exactly where I was. And this house that I had rented for that particular year, the year that I became an honored retiree, I didn't find the exact house. I suspect that it has long sloughed into the Chesapeake Bay and been replaced by some other structure. But I found the town itself, which, once again, just like in Eastville, it's exactly the same now as it was when I was living there. And it's exactly the same now as it was probably during the Civil War. All of these things, I am enormously grateful. I was going to cover a lot of other subjects, but somehow I got onto this memory business. And so I make no excuses and I make no apologies for any of that, because these are all things that color who I am with all of you today. And what I am with all of you today is, first of all, your captain, and secondly, a constant force up in the captain's chair that you can come to, whether it be by signal, whether it be by thoughts coming to me through the airwaves, whether it be by just my own intuition. But as always, all of the things that have happened to me over my long life, and of which I've described some in this particular broadcast, have colored the goodness and sometimes the not so good that I continue to project to all of you. You all do me great honor by continuing to listen to me every week. And I hope that some of the things that I say are going to fulfill the mission of this broadcast, which is always to make all of us feel just a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live. Because this last week, for me, has been one of those times. It was a time for me to see and to support a much-loved family, to return to a place of great happiness and to find it, to return to a place of great sadness and failure on my part, and to expunge that part of it from my life, and to tell you about these things so that if you are feeling that you are either alone or you are feeling that you need a strengthening message or you are feeling that you would like to blow up, this broadcast and your Captain Joe, these are the places for you to do that. I have 1 minute left. I am watching the time on my watch, and I have 1 minute left, and I did not get to all of the things that I wanted to talk about, but I guess I did get to the things that I really wanted to talk about. So this coming Sunday, I have been asked by a much-loved friend to host a group of people from New Zealand for a tour of the lighthouse, and I'm going to do that. And I tell this story because, of course, soon we come to the time of the year when I tell my story about the Christmas tree that I got from the back garden of the chief pilot in Wellington. For all of you Vietnam veterans out there, this is a special time for me, and I hope it is a special time for you. Remember those that are no longer with us. Remember those that are with us and are are having a Binnacle List membership. There are a couple of them here with me today. And remember all of the things that happened during your particular deployment. It is not given to us to know the day, nor the time, nor the hour. So cherish those all around you and know that we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And selfishly, I've taken up this half hour with telling stories about myself with the hope that not only is it good for me, I already know that, but that it will be a good thing for you as well. And this is, as always, your Captain Joe. Up in the captain's chair, it is now 8 bells of the afternoon watch here in Norfolk, and I am on station and watching properly.